Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Felder, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truths that change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Felder.
Okay, again, we're glad to have everybody back, and I see you've all gotten your coffee, and we're ready to hit another But Now. And this one is, a But Now. We're going to move down a few verses in Galatians 4. And I happened to catch it while I was preparing this one up here in verse 4. Well, I can't skip this one, so this one is just sort of coming off the page. We're going to start in Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. But again, I always like to welcome any newcomers, especially because we realize that almost every day we get phone calls from people who have just found our program. And so we have to realize that we do have listeners who aren't hearing me repeat. Somebody just reminded me at the break time. She said, Les, you're not repeating for everybody because a lot of people are hearing it for the first time. So I've got to keep all those things in mind. So those of you who have been with me now for years and years, bear with me when I do repeat for benefit of new listeners. But again, we're just an informal Bible study. My only hope is to help people to study the Word on their own. You don't have to just sit there and fold your arms and listen to me or listen to some preacher. Get into the book, because after all, this is where your spiritual food lies. And I had someone call yesterday, and she said, I've been a believer for 17 years. And she said, off and on, I'll try to read my Bible. I didn't understand it. I would just lay it aside. But says, I caught your program a few weeks ago, and now I'm learning how to study. Well, that's the best news I could ever hear. So that's the whole premise for our teaching, is to show you how to take the Word, compare Scripture with Scripture, because the cults build all their false doctrines on just isolated verses. But we want to use the whole book cover to cover, because it all fits, it all dovetails together. All right, we're going to go into our next But Now. Jerry's got it up on the board. We are also in book number 68 already. So if you want to know how many programs we've got, all you have to do is multiply 68 times 12, and that gives you the number of programs that are available on all the various formats. All right, Galatians chapter 4, going on a little further down the page, in verse 8, where Paul writes, Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them who by nature are not or are no gods, but now. All right, what's the but now? After you've become a believer. Now, I always have to back up and give the historical background. Before these people became Christians or believers, what were they? Pagans, idolaters, Gentiles. See, Galatia is up there in central Turkey. And like all the rest of Paul's churches and audiences, it was predominantly Gentile. There might have been a sprinkling of Jews, but it's mostly Gentile. And they were pagan. They were idolaters. They followed all the gods and goddesses and all the immoral and stupid ramifications of it. You know, I can't help but use the word, because I remember when I was reading the book Homer years and years ago, and the whole thing is just saturated with how these sailors, including Odysseus, were all hung up on the control of the gods and goddesses. Everything, the winds that blew, and the ocean, the enemy of warfare was all resting on their gods and goddesses, see? Well, that's the kind of people Paul dealt with. The same thing. They had no moral standards. They had no understanding of a one true God. They were steeped in all the foolishness of gods and goddesses, with an idol to that god, an idol to that female god, and so forth. All right, so this is what Paul is saying here, that when, in verse 8, that back when you knew not the God of Scripture, the God of Israel, all they knew were gods and goddesses of mythology. All right, so he says, when you knew not God, you did service to them. My goodness, have you any idea how the pagan worshipped? Why, sacrifices after sacrifices, if they could afford it, I think I shared it on the program several months ago. I love history. So while I was going through my hip replacement recuperation, and I did a lot of sitting and reading, I read the whole gamut of Alexander the Great, all the way from when he began until he finally died at the age of 33. And I was just flabbergasted at how that young man was constantly sacrificing animals to his gods and goddesses. And if he was ready for battle, he would sacrifice 200-300 of them. Unbelievable. Now, that was the mentality then of these people that Paul brought out into the faith of Christ. See? And so you have to get an understanding of that. So they were slaves to their religion. And they were constantly making offerings and oblations and everything to their idols. Whether it was on a high hill, or whether it was in a grove, or whether it was in their house, they were always worshiping some idol. All right? So he says, you did service unto them, but by nature they're not gods. They're just wood and stone. They're figments of somebody's imagination. A sorry state of affairs, isn't it? And yet the world isn't all that much different even today. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. But now then, verse 9, that's the crux of the thing. But now, since you've become a believer, since you've come out of all that false worship, and you have known the one true God as a result of trusting Paul's gospel, or rather are known of God. Now, you know what I like about that? When we become a believer, we not only just know God, but what? God knows us in a way intrinsically different than He knows the rest of the world. Now, in His omniscience, sure, He's aware of everybody. But when we become a believer, we are intrinsically His. And He knows all about us. He knows our yesterday. He knows our today. He knows our tomorrow. All right, and so that's what Paul is trying to show these people, that here as believers now, not only do they know the right and true God, but God knows them. Now then, he says, how turn you to the weak and beggarly? Now that takes some explanation, doesn't it? What was the purpose of the book of Galatians? Well, his Galatian believers were being hoodwinked by Judaizers from the Jerusalem church that they couldn't be completely saved with Paul's gospel alone. They had to practice Judaism. Now, I got to show that from Scripture, otherwise people just look at it. Because I always go back to a large church in North Carolina several years ago, and I taught this in their Sunday school hour. And it was a large class, well over 100. And when I finished that morning, they just surrounded me. They said, Les, I never knew this was in our Bible. And I'm sure that's typical of most church people. They don't even know this is in their Bible. All right, but here it is, Acts chapter 15. And we just start at verse 1. Now, this is what was behind Paul writing the letter to the Galatians. And that's why he said in the verse we looked at, that now they'd come out of paganism, and yet they're turning back to the weak and beggarly elements were part of Israel's law. And I'm going to make further comment on that when we get back, if I got time. But anyway, Acts chapter 15, this was the crux of the problem with Paul's Gentile congregations. Verse 1, and certain men who came down from Judea, that's Jerusalem, they taught the brethren, Paul's Gentile converts, and they said, except or unless you are circumcised after the manner of Moses, you, what? Cannot be saved. My, that's terrible. That'd be just like if I would come in here and tell people, unless you do this and unless you do that, you can't be saved. That's what they were doing. And they were doing this to Paul's believers, see? And they were falling for it. That's human nature. All right, read on. Verse 2, when therefore, because of what these guys were doing, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension or argument with them, and disputation, so they, the church people up here at Antioch, is where this is all taking place, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to what city? Jerusalem. And under what group of people? The apostles. Because after all, who were the controlling element of the Jerusalem church? Well, the 12. Because you want to remember, Paul hadn't yet had the revelation of the body of Christ church, so there is no mention of bishops and elders and deacons in this Jerusalem church. See how obvious it all is? You know, one of my number one rules of study is be just as aware of what it does not say as what it does say. Well, there's nothing in early Acts, nothing concerning some of the offices that Paul teaches. I've already said it, I'll say it again. Peter and the 11 know nothing of bishops and elders and deacons. Those are Pauline terms. See how obvious it is? So who were the leadership? Not bishops and elders and deacons, but the 12 apostles. All right, so if you want to get something done, I've said it on the program before, and I'll say it again. If you want to get something done, even today, where do you go? As close to the top as you can get, see? You know, I get a kick out of people when they call, and they ask the girls out in the office about something. They said, well, we'll let you talk to Les. Well, they can't believe that they can talk to me. Yes, you can. And so I can pick up the phone and answer their questions. Well, they've gone to the top so far as this ministry is concerned, and if you're going to get something done, that's the place to go. So who are the top? The 12. So they're going to go to the apostles and elders about this question. All right, verse 3. Now being brought on their way by the church, the Antioch Gentile Body of Christ Church. They passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring conversion to the Gentiles, caused great joy to the brethren. Now verse 4, when they come to Jerusalem. Boy, now it's a different thing. Now they come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church. And again, I'm going to qualify that, the Jerusalem church. Not a body of Christ church, not a church based on death, burial, and resurrection. It's a church based on Jewish believers that Jesus was the Christ. And again, they're still under the law. They're still practicing temple worship. Never forget this. They're not a word throughout all of Christ's earthly ministry. Not a word in these first 8-9 chapters of Acts that indicates you're not under the law. Not a word. Never is someone told, you don't have to bring sacrifices anymore. You don't have to come to the temple anymore. Never. They are still law-keeping Jews, but they are separated from the mainstream of Judaism and Israel, and they have formed the Jerusalem church. See? All right, so verse 4 again. They were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the Jerusalem church, and of the apostles and elders. Now, I said they weren't elders, but not the way Paul uses it. They were probably men designated just under the 12 for whatever role. Now then, Paul and Barnabas and others from the Antioch church declared all things that God had done with them. With regard to what people? Gentiles. Now you want to remember, this is unheard of in Jewish thinking. The Gentiles never had any part of Israel's religious life. Maybe an occasional proselyte, but you know, I always qualify that. What did Jesus say about proselytes? Well, he said to the Pharisees, you compass land and sea to make one proselyte. And when he's made, what's the rest of the verse? He is three times more the child of hell than you are. Boy, now that's strong language. Now you think I'm kidding. I gotta go back and show you. Matthew 23. I'm afraid some people may sometimes think, well, he acts like he's quoting Scripture, but he isn't. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. This is what it says. Matthew 23, verse 15. If you got a red letter edition, it's in red. The Lord Himself is speaking it. And I repeat, that's why I don't put much emphasis on proselytes. They had no real religious influence in Israel. Got it? Matthew 23, verse 15. Oh, I hope the camera can get this one. I want people to read it for themselves. Matthew 23, verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites! For you compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold. I'm sorry, I said threefold. But you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Boy, now that's strong language, isn't it? You know, I always tell people, don't ever tell someone they're going to hell. But the Lord could. The Lord could, but I never will. Because that's not my prerogative. I can't look on anybody's heart, and only God knows that. But nevertheless, Jesus could tell these guys that they were children of hell. And the proselytes they brought in were just as much so. Well, anyway, now that threw me a curve. I just about forgot where I came from. Back to Galatians. Back to Galatians, chapter 4. Verse 9 again, the very crux of our lesson this afternoon. But now, after coming away... No, I was in Acts 15, wasn't I? Boy, I really goofed. Back to Acts 15, I'm sorry. Back to Acts 15. And we're still dealing with what Paul is writing to the Galatian churches about. That these emissaries from the Jerusalem church, under the at least the permission of 12, if not the direction, Paul knows that the only way to deal with this thing is go to the top, to the 12. Didn't do any good to try to tell these men who were coming into his churches, be gone with you, you're false. That wouldn't do any good. So he goes straight to Jerusalem, to the top. All right, now verse 5 of Acts 15. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees who believed. In other words, they had come to the place of recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. They were saved by it, and they were cleansed and became members then of the Jewish church at Jerusalem. But these Pharisees still had more legalism than the rest of them. And so, listen to them. They said it was needful to circumcise them. Now, who are we talking about? Paul's converts. Paul's Gentile believers. Now, it wasn't just in Galatia. It was probably Antioch, all across Turkey. We have no indication that they got over into Greece, but it wouldn't surprise me but that their teachings got there one way or another. And we've got much the same thing today, even though it isn't circumcision. There's a lot of other things that people are trying to force into the gospel that's not there. All right, so reading on in verse 5, that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them, not suggest, they were commanded to keep the law of Moses. Now listen, what did the law of Moses entail? The whole nine yards. The feast days, the temple worship, the sacrifices, the food laws, they expected these poor Gentiles to come under all of that. No wonder Paul had a fit. And he did. It just drove him up the wall that these Jerusalem Judaizers were trying to unload all of their religion on his grace believers. And that's what they were, remember. They were saved by God's grace through faith and faith alone in Paul's gospel. But these Judaizers are trying to convince them that they had to also embrace the law. Well, now like verse 7. Well, verse 6. So the apostles and the elders, that is, of the Jerusalem church now, came together to consider the matter. My, as far as I'm concerned, there was nothing to consider. It should have been a done deal. But it wasn't. I'll tell you what. Tradition and religion is a tough nut to crack. Many of you are finding it out. My, it's a tough nut to crack. I am encouraged. We're getting more and more letters now from pastors and preachers who are beginning to see this. And I have to think of a couple in particular who called in 1 week. 71 years old and retired. I won't name what areas or what denomination, but what a thrill to hear these guys open up everything they had learned, mostly off of our stuff on the internet. And I'll never forget, the one gentleman said, Les, he said, do you think God will give me a little more time to undo all the damage that I did for 40 years preaching the wrong stuff? Well, we'll hope so. But listen, we are making some headway, and we're encouraged by that, that people will begin to consider what is not in here and what is. Well, now, Paul, of course, was all exercised because they're trying to bring something into the plan of salvation for his Gentiles that were absolutely inappropriate. All right, now then, verse 7. Just to show you what's taking place in Jerusalem. After there had been much, what? Disputing. What's the other word? Arguing. See? I imagine the better part of a day was spent with the Judaizers trying to pummel Paul and Barnabas, that this is what God had always demanded, and God doesn't change, God is still... Sound familiar? Yeah, it does. We hear the same thing. Well, who are you? Who are you to change? This is what the church has been doing for 1,900 years. And I realize it's a valid argument, but look, Satan has kept a lot of good people blind. And I stand here without apology to say that. They have been kept blind. And as I mentioned in my class Monday night, how many millions of good church people are going to end up in the wrong place because they have ignored Paul's gospel. People don't like that. But on your way back to, I want to go back to Galatians just yet. I want you to see something else first. Stop at Galatians. But earlier in Galatians. I want Galatians 2 instead of Galatians 4. Galatians 2. Before we go back to chapter 4. Now here's Paul's account of this same meeting up in Jerusalem, convincing the 12 that they had no right trying to put his Gentile converts under Judaism. All right, now I have to do this rather quickly. The time is just about gone. But anyway, go verse 2. Galatians 2, verse 2. I went up, that is, to Jerusalem, by revelation, by God's direction, and communicated unto them, that is, the leadership at Jerusalem, the 12 and some of the other elders, as they're called in the book of Acts. And I communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them who are of reputation. Now, again, you've got to be able to understand language. If you're going to talk to some few who evidently were more authoritative than others, you probably went into a side room or something like that. And who were the ones that were the most authoritative? Well, the 12, naturally, see? All right? So he says, we went and took them aside, lest by any means, verse 2, I should run or had run in vain. And then now, for sake of time, I'm going to bring you on down to verse 5. To whom? That is, to evidently the 12. We gave place by subjection. In other words, we did not give in to their pressure. We didn't give in to their arguments. Not for an hour. For what purpose? So that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. Now, he's writing to these Galatian churches. He's writing to Gentile believers. He's writing to you and I. And what do we have to be aware of? There are going to be false teachers that are going to bombard us. And we're being taught, you stand, you don't give in, because we are resting on the gospel that alone can save. And that is, of course, what Paul says in verse 2, that gospel that he preached amongst the Gentiles. All right, now I'm going to bring you again, for sake of time, down to verse 8. Just for sake of time. I like to use all these verses, and I have before, but now like in verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, or the Jews, the same God was mighty in me toward what people? The Gentiles. See, here we have that separation now of Jews from Gentiles. Now verse 9. And when James and Peter, or Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, that is, of the church at Jerusalem, perceived or understood the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, they shake hands on the deal, that we, Paul and Barnabas, should go to the heathen, the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world, and they, the 12, would maintain their ministry where? To the Jew. How much plainer can English make it? Here's their agreement. Paul and Barnabas would go to the Gentiles like they've been doing with their gospel of grace by faith plus nothing, without Judaism, without all the ramifications of the law, and Peter and the rest of the 11 will stay with Israel and they'll be headquartered there in the church at Jerusalem. Plain English. I can never imagine how people can miss it. And yet, now come over to chapter 4 in our closing remarks for the minute or two that's left. Reading on in verse 9. Now this is Holy Spirit inspired. This isn't Paul with a word of vengeance or a word of meanness toward these Jewish teachers up in Jerusalem. But by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, look how he refers to the Judaistic law. Unbelievable. So he says, verse 9, but now, after you have known God, you've come into this salvation by trusting the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And now you're not only knowing God, but you're known of God. Now look at it. How turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunder you desire again to be in bondage, and as a result of those elements, what is it? Observing days and months and times and years, which is all part of what? That was all part of Judaism, part of the law. And what does the Holy Spirit refer to it as? Weak and beggarly.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.